This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we are talking to Ruslan Othman, the Chief Executive of the East Malaysia Focus Concrete and Building Systems Maker, Sarawak Consolidated Industries Berhad. Ruslan, thank you for talking to us. Now, let's have a business sit rep from you, if possible. We saw that in fiscal 2020, you had a huge jump in top line, you had a huge jump in gross profit and in net income. And that was a interesting performance because 2020 was a COVID blitzed year. I guess really, the perspective has come from the fact that 2020 was the full financial year in which you recognized earnings following the entry of Dato' Mohamed Abdul Karim Abdullah of Sabah Dynamic in the fold as a shareholder. I think he's got an effective 47.5% interest in the business, where in 2019 he didn't have an interest. Can you talk about fiscal 2020 and how that sets up the Sarawak Consolidated for 2021 and beyond?
All right. Thank you for having me today. I think we entered the company in the third quarter of 2019. I think before we decided to go into Sarawak Consolidated Industries Berhad, we consciously make an effort to study the business model of the company. We found out that the company has been operating solely as the manufacturer of the precast products for East Malaysia. So with that, myself and Dato' Karim decided to re-strategize the business strategy, whereby we've decided to go into construction business, where we feel that it provides better margin, better opportunities, and better prospect for the company. So that's why if you see in towards end of 2019, we are able to turn around the company to profitability, even though it's a small amount, but it sets the stage for what's going to happen for 2020. So that's basically the basic restructuring that we have done in the company itself.
Yeah, it's happened. Market value obviously did very well. I think you nearly quadrupled the market cap, and now you're over R1 billion or there or thereabouts. Revenue has jumped as well, three or four times. I guess the real story is 2021 and what it means for the fiscal year ahead. And this is also a time, Ruslan, when the state elections in Sarawak is going to happen. I think later this year, by September, the latest, right? And either preceding that or post that, there's going to be a whole bunch of infrastructure and construction projects being released. Give me a bit of a viewpoint as to what's going to happen on that front.
All right. I think just to state the stage for what's going to happen for the company, I think for 2020, we did very well as far as our financial results concerned. What we did was to actually put in place cost-cutting measures to make sure that we are able to actually control our costs and to make sure that we are able to face all these challenges moving forward. With the backdrop of Sarawak state opportunities, obviously there is something that we are banking on, and you are saying correctly that with the election looming ahead of us, we are seeking more opportunities coming towards our end. The things that we have actually seen now is all the government projects, the coastal roads, all these government buildings, complex schools. So these are all the opportunities that suddenly appear in our horizon. So for 2021, definitely we feel that it's going to be a good year for us, another year, with the vaccine coming in and the a lot of the improvement in terms of businesses around us. So we can expect a lot of opportunities coming up. And 2021 definitely will be another year that we expect to be a bumper year for SAIB.
Yeah, just very quickly, Ruslan, you talked about how you've altered the business profile of Sarawak Con a little bit. As you say, they used to be a pure play maker. I think concrete was their main business traditionally, and now they're more integrated up and down, and they obviously get to benefit from the subcon jobs from Sabah Dynamic, and there's the whole energy, oil and gas sector there to be played into. Just for the benefit of shareholders, right? How what In summary, what kind of things did you do to alter the business profile of the business?
All right. I think I mentioned earlier that when we came into the company, we found that the company is purely involved in manufacturing, which is supplying products to contractors. There are a lot of opportunities, especially in Sarawak, whereby the Pan Borneo project is a massive, massive project, which we are just supplying the products to the contractors. And we found out that the margins are so small. And because of that, we feel that having another business model, which is construction business, we are able to provide an end-to-end solution to our customers. We have our manufacturing plant in Kuching, Sarawak. And at the same time, with construction business, we are able to source it cheaply. And with the capability that we have in-house, we are able to serve our client better in that respect. So that's why I think if you see that having a common shareholders, like you mentioned just now, Sarabha, it helps to a certain extent. It propels us to an area where, you know, it keeps us move faster than we intended to. So that's why I say, you see, 2020, we have set a target of book order of 1.5 billion. We have achieved it. For 2021, we have set another target of book order of 2.5 billion. This is to make sure that, you know, we keep ourselves busy moving forward with the prospect that's happening in Sarawak and also the prospect that we are looking at now in overseas, especially in the Middle East.
So that vertical integration is good in terms of margin preservation, but what was margins then and what are margins now, given the fact that construction is actually by nature a low margin business?
Yeah, that's why I think when we look at our business model, if you are a standalone contractor or construction company, definitely some of the product you have to outsource from third party. All right, so us being having an integrated solution, having our own supply base, we are able to actually see that where are the margins that is better as far as the project is concerned. So with that integration, you know, we're able to source better as far as our raw material, and we're able to make sure that we are competitive when we go in into tender for projects. You know, so that's why I think for us, we are able to see a bigger horizon than a standalone contractor if they were to actually go into a project. So that actually set us an advantage as far as us being a player in the market itself.
So what kind of gross margin numbers are you willing to share with your shareholders, both current and prospective?
In general, I don't want to be specific. We are looking around 15 to 20 as far as our gross margin is concerned for our business. So that is basically our guiding principle as far as going into a project or participate into a tender.
Okay, fair enough. But that does seem very generous for a construction outfit, right? 15-20%.
Yeah, I think you also have to understand that a lot of our projects are now in Middle East. Generally, the margins there are much better because the cost structure are higher compared to Malaysia. All right. So there's a distinction between us doing our business in Malaysia and the overseas. If you look at our makeup, a lot of our projects now are in the Middle East, whereby we are able to command better margin in that sense because, you know, generally costs are higher. So we are able to source it better. So that's why I think we are able to actually command better margin as far as our construction business concern.
Yeah, so Ruslan, share some numbers with me right now. You have a 2021 construction order book target of 2.5 billion ringgit. I read that it's somewhere in the region of 1.7 billion ringgit now. Am I far off the mark? And in terms of revenue contribution, how much is Malaysia and how much is international?
Okay, if you look at the breakdown of the overseas and Malaysia, we are looking at, for example, our fourth quarter 2020, we are looking at overseas around 60% compared to Malaysia, which is 40%.
40% local, 60% international. Let's talk about the 40% initially, right? And let me start by pointing out the fact that the Sarawak Economic Development Corporation, the SEDC, is a 5.3% owner of Sarawak Consolidated. And of course, Sarawak State is the awarder of state projects. Are there some related party transaction issues, corporate governance concerns we should be aware of?
We are quite aware of these governance matters. In actual fact, having a similar shareholder, substantial shareholder between another listed company, it posed a lot of questions with our shareholders. So we have more or less tackled that by having our extraordinary general meeting to ensure that some of the common project that we've received from a related party has been actually addressed accordingly. So that is basically something that we have done much, much earlier. And we are very clear when it comes to making sure that there's no conflict in that respect by addressing it through a proper channel.
What are those proper channels?
Basically, for example, you know, we have a contract with Serba Dynamic. So in order to have that, obviously, you have to have a shareholder's approval. So we did that. We get it passed on our side. And the Serba Dynamic also have managed to actually pass the resolution to approve all this related party transaction between both listed company. So these are the matters that have been attended to between both sides.
Well, so if you can see that. To dwell on the issue a little bit longer, Ruslan, Dato Abdul Karim is the 47.5% indirect and direct shareholder. And chances are that whatever, you know, material development that's going to happen at Saratcon is going to be pushed through because he owns such a big block of the shares. And you yourself, I understand, own slightly over 10% of the business. So between you and him, you control more than half of the business. I guess what we're trying to understand is the defensibility of the underlying business and whether or not, like, for example, Top Glove and the other glove makers, whether, you know, international parties will step in to disrupt what might otherwise be a profitable business.
Yeah, I think for us, having such a large shareholding in the company do help us in terms of managing the company, in terms of trying to make sure that the company follows the direction that we wanted it to go. But obviously, it also pose issues like what you're saying, cross-related transaction in that sense. But like I said, we are actually working towards making sure that the company works in a transparent way. So that both can benefit from each other as far as business-wise concern.
I'm talking this morning to Ruslan Othman, the chief executive of the East Malaysia-focused concrete and building systems maker, Sarawak Consolidated Industries Berhad. We'll come back after this, Ruslan. Spend a bit more time on the East Malaysian jobs and then move into the international arena, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Ruslan Othman, the CEO of the East Malaysia-focused concrete and building systems maker, Sarawak Consolidated Industries Berhad. Now, expectations, Ruslan, is that for the Sarawak state this year and the state budget to have a record, in fact, higher than the record 12 billion ringgit awarded in 2019. First of all, what's your expectations for the state budget for infrastructure spending? How many of those jobs are you bidding for? And just some kind of margin visibility into some of these projects.
Okay, I think in terms of our approach of tackling the opportunities that we have in Sarawak is that so far that we have seen, we have received a lot of, in terms of opportunities as far as government state projects in Sarawak. We are currently looking into a few coastal roads projects. We are also looking into a few schools development projects. There's a lot of housing development that we are looking at as far as low-cost housing. Obviously, this will be a staple business for us moving forward in Sarawak. We feel that for 2021, with all this accumulation of projects and contracts that we're looking at for Sarawak, we expect that we are able to actually achieve our target for 2021. Obviously, we have done very well for 2022. A lot of people expect us to perform as well because of the situation that they expect on the return to normal. So that's why I think as far as the number is concerned, we are looking at additional 10% of what we are actually targeting for last year as far as top line is concerned. So that's basically our end target for 2021 as far as our performance is concerned.
Yeah, so from a state budget perspective, right, 2019 they awarded about 12 billion ringgit worth of infra jobs. What's your expectation for the current year and how many percent you hope to get out of that?
Yeah, as far as the tender book is concerned, our current tender book stands around 3 billion. So out of the 3 billion tender book, around 60% are basically Sarawak-related projects. Okay, so we are hopeful that with that target, 60% out of this 3 billion, we could actually basically land as a contract for the company.
Okay, and the East Malaysian margins versus the international margins? What's the differing profile?
Okay, for the local margin, we're looking around 10 to 15% as far as the target is concerned. I mentioned to you that our overseas are around 15 to 20 gross margin target.
Okay, let's talk about the international business then, okay? We understand that you've won some jobs in Qatar and Oman, okay? Let's start with Qatar. And of course, the big event there is the World Cup, right? 2022, that's in about a year and a half's time. Apparently, the government is going to be spending about $500 million per week on capital projects, and in total, about $200 billion for 2022. What is your message to shareholders and, of course, your other business partners in terms of your plans in Qatar?
I think we are very optimistic as far as our presence in the Middle East, especially in Qatar. I think our initial project also that we have received are from Qatar. There are a lot of opportunities, like you mentioned, that the spending that government has been spending as far as making sure the Qatar World Cup is happening according to plan. If you look at our business model, we don't go into a specific project in a big way. We are kind of a niche market kind of a player. So we try to actually reduce some of our exposure and risk by working and looking into around 50 to 100 million kind worth of contracts and value. So in this respect, we feel that we are able to manage as far as the risk is concerned. We are able to manage in terms of the collectability of the payment is concerned. So we feel that with the lifted of the sanction between the United Arab Emirates, Saudi and the other Middle East country for Qatar, it bode well for our business plan. I think the transportation, the connectivity are currently open up as far as Qatar is concerned. So with our presence there for 2021, the opportunities are there for us to grab. We are there for the long haul, and we expect that that will be an area for us to maximize our return.
So presumably, the recent award of about $98 million in Qatar of an EPCC contract, the client being Interceptor Trading and Contracting, 2.5-year job, supposed to be completed July 2023. Just give us a bit of details how those contracts work, and would that be typical for someone like you?
Yeah, I think if you look at the contract that we received from Qatar, it's basically the construction for the proposed new boundary wall, guardhouse and car parking in Qatar. This is, like I said, we are going into a niche market project whereby we limit our exposure between 50 to 100 million because we feel that with that range of contract, we are able to manage and control the cost, control the timeline because we, with the current new situation, there's a lot of adjustment that we need to make as far as delivering the project is concerned. So moving forward, you would see that we are looking at this sort of project to actually be implemented at the company.
I'm talking this morning to Ruslan Othman, the Chief Executive of the East Malaysia Focus Concrete and Building Systems maker, Sarawak Consolidated Industries Berhad. Now, Oman is the other country in which you have a significant presence in. That's a country, in fact, that's a place where the Chinese government and Chinese firms have been pouring lots of money into. What is the exposure there for Sarawak Con? Is it a similar foot profile to what you have in Qatar?
Yes, you're right. We're having similar exposure as far as Qatar. I think Qatar is much bigger, definitely. But like I said, for a project that we are participating in Oman, we have currently building around 20 villas in the Al Rui Muscat Sultanate of Oman. Contract value is around $75 million. So if you see that, you know, our presence is that we make sure that we don't go into a project that is too big for us to chew. Reason being is that, like I mentioned, we are starting off the contracting business. That's why I think we are making sure that we build our reputation so that, you know, people recognize as someone that can be trusted as far as delivering project on time and with good quality. So that's why I think Oman is another country that is opening up to foreigners. Like you mentioned, the Chinese businessmen, contractors are there actually to develop the country. So we are taking the opportunity to also get a bite of some of the business there in Oman. And that could be also one of our countries that we feel that we can be there for quite some time.
What is your feedback in terms of some of the business challenges of being in the Gulf countries, right? I think in the past, there were issues around labor and cost of labor. There was issues also around the fact that it's a very cyclical economy. They rise and fall with the oil prices. We've seen oil gyrate all over the place so far this and last year. And of course, collections is an issue because receivables is something that tends to get delayed. In fact, payments tend to get delayed when business is down. What's your feedback on that, Ruslan?
Yeah, I think we have been lucky enough to have our largest shareholder, Dato' Karib, that have been in that particular region for more than 18 years. A lot of the network that was built for ACIB is built around Dato' Karib's network. So it is important also to note that some of the clients that we have are long-standing, have a long-standing relationship with our largest shareholder, which is Dato' Karib. So it helps us in terms of managing some of these risks that you said just now, in terms of collection risks, in terms of some of these issues that we face as far as the ups and downs of the oil and gas businesses. So that's why, like I mentioned just now, we are very selective when we go into a project. We select the clients that we want to participate with. So that helps us to, you know, manage our risk. And we don't go into a project that is excessively big that we cannot handle within ourselves. So with the pandemic situation and whatnot, the business model have definitely changed. There's a lot of internet communication, connectivity, as far as even we do now our site visit through, video call, video conferencing. So we are adapting our staff also to adjust to the current environment.
Yeah, so Dato' Karim has also talked earlier this year about doubling the size of the business. I don't know whether he means in terms of the order book or in terms of the market value, or maybe he means both, right? But either way, the company is going to get bigger. To what extent is East Malaysia and the whole relocation of Jakarta's, the capital of Indonesia, Jakarta, to Kalimantan, going to play into this whole idea?
Yes, definitely. I think we've what we call informed a lot of our investors, a lot of our shareholders, that the long-term plan is to basically capture some of the opportunity of East Malaysia and Kalimantan. Like you mentioned, that the movement, the capital of Indonesia from Jakarta to Kalimantan, you know, is something that we are eyeing as far as opportunity is concerned. That's why I think that East Malaysia definitely has a lot of opportunity for our company, being a company that is deep-rooted in Sarawak. We feel that we have an edge compared to the other competitor. So that's why I think our team are on the ground actively seeking these opportunities for us to execute.
Okay, so nearly out of time. The shares at Sarawakcon have come off quite a bit since since last year when you announced a 3-in-1 bonus issue, right? What does Sarawakcon look like in, say, 3 to 5 years' time? Not just in terms of market value, but in terms of order book.
Like I said, you know, our target as far as order book is concerned is keep increasing year by year. 2020, we've targeted around 1.5 billion. We surpassed that. In 2021, we are talking about 3 billion target, and we are actually in line to achieve that target as far as order book is concerned. I think with increase in order book, with increase in what we call confidence in the company, the share price is going to rally, definitely. All what we need to do is to basically show the fundamental as far as showing that the numbers that we intend to project happens by end of the year. What we have seen so far, we are on track as far as the number is concerned, barring any unforeseen circumstances. Like I said, with the vaccine rolling out all over the world, especially in Malaysia, things will start to return to normal. We expect that business all around us also to start return to normal. That would definitely help our costs in terms of trying to meet our target for 2021 and 2022 moving forward.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. I was talking to Roslan Othman, the Chief Executive of Sarawak Consolidated Industries Berhad, controlled by Dato' Muhammad Karim Abdullah of Sabah Dynamic, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.